The Tennis Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gam Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play the fantasy pick'em for a chance to 100 times your money in NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, Avo. Use their tool to bet both sides and to lock in a profit. Access their platform for free at arbsversodds.com. That's arbsversodds.com. Plus, in honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a tailor-made Spider X putter for free. Enter at sportsgamepodcast.com/masters. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Game Podcast Network. It is currently early Sunday morning, roughly 2 a.m. Eastern Time on April 14th. I'm Rosso, it's Scott Rochelle, once again going solo for this pod. Should be a fun episode because it is time to get into the final match in Monte Carlo. We have the men's final between Tsitsipas and Ruud, so we're going to preview that matchup in a second. Apologies for the late recording time, but UFC 300 was on, and I was going to watch it, obviously. Very fun card, a lot of fun knockouts, no regrets there. Either way, though, match is going to take place at around 9 a.m. Eastern time. So about 7 hours before the actual start of that match. So hopefully you have enough time to listen to this before the matches actually start. Shouldn't take that long. Once again, only one match to talk about, so nothing that extreme. But before we get into any of the recap of the actual semis and then the preview of the final, do want to remind everybody once again to like, subscribe on YouTube. Also a reminder to rate and review the podcast on Spotify or Apple. So however you end up actually listening to this show, you can support it, and hopefully you end up either liking and subscribing or rating and reviewing. Besides that, a reminder, we have some merch on the SGPN merch store, so if you want to support the show as well, you can buy yourself a t-shirt, buy yourself a mug, a lot of great merchandise for the tennis show as well as other podcasts with the network, including the featured show of the week, the Golf Gambling Podcast, because it's Masters Week, and because of that, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a tailor-made Spider X putter. Enter for free at sportscampodcast.com/masters. You have until the Masters is over to enter, so only one more day left to enter the contest for a free putter. Now time to move on to the actual recap of the last episode. Initially, we were a bit cool in the first round or two of Monte Carlo, but recently we caught fire. Ended up sweeping the podcast for the round of 16. Then we swept the podcast for the quarterfinals, and then yesterday we swept the podcast once again for the semis, the third straight sweep for the show. So starting off with the lock, we had Djokovic team total over 12.5 games at minus 125. That got there, even though Djokovic did lose in three sets. The key number there is three. So he ended up getting it done by winning the second set, and then he was able to make the third set competitive as he lost but went over this number. For the dog, we had the over in games between Sinner and Tsitsipas at 22.5 at plus 115. Could have taken the sets at 2.5, two at a bigger price. That got there. Point is, we did think both matches would be competitive, and we did end up cashing. It's pretty funny, though, because for the quarterfinal episode, I think we got every single match right for the sides as well. For yesterday's episode, we really did not. In fact, we thought Djokovic would face off against Sinner in the final, but that's the beauty of taking totals, because you can get the actual side wrong, but you still win, and that's what happened for the lock and dog pick. So once again, the third straight sweep on the show. We're going to try to go for a fourth straight sweep here on Sunday, but the matches were very entertaining. To get into the brief recap of those, you ended up seeing Ruud and Djokovic have an absolute battle in the late afternoon. I'll save the Sinner and Tsitsipas match for afterwards, because I kind of have a bit of a rant I want to mention in that one. Djokovic lost the first set, then he blew Ruud out in the second set, implementing more serve and volley. Ruud really had a hard time of limiting the unforced errors for about, I'd say, 30, 40 minutes, and Djokovic won the second set 6-1. So at that point, you thought Djokovic was fine, and then after that, Ruud immediately responded well, because he went up a break immediately in the third set, went up 3-0. Then he did end up giving the break back I'll put it this way. He didn't win a point in a service game when he was serving at 4-2. So Djokovic broke to love. That's what I was trying to say. Then Djokovic held. Ruud ended up holding because of a Djokovic. I don't want to call it a missed overhead, but he had an overhead. Ruud kind of had an unorthodox return, like a slice return to it, and he ended up seeing Djokovic's footwork kind of get caught, and he had an unforced error, and then Ruud immediately went up love 40 in the following return game, and he eventually got the match point across in the third attempt. So point is, Ruud had a nice job finally beating Djokovic, never won a set off of him in his career, that he finally beat him in a match. So good for Ruud, and I'm definitely curious how he's going to respond emotionally to the match afterwards, because even though this might be the most important match of his career, he still has a title to play for on Sunday, and I am wondering if maybe the gravity of the situation might get to him. We'll see. Point is, though, nice win for Ruud, a nice win for us, because Djokovic did finish with 14 games, which is more than 12 and a half. Moving on, though, to the other piece that I want to talk about with the Djokovic match, though. He had an incident with the crowd, and I feel like we've seen a couple of players have incidences with the crowd, or incidences. Yeah, I just made up a word. Have incidents with the crowd earlier this week. We saw Rune have an issue with the I'd say egging on, where he was kind of telling the crowd to make a bit more noise, or he was kind of just trying to get under the crowd's skin, and he saw the crowd kind of flipping him off. But the point is, the crowd has definitely been a factor in this event, and they were talking in the middle of points, in the middle of the Djokovic match, and Djokovic turned around, and he basically said, shut the F up to a couple of fans. You could argue that it's, I'd say, not in proper taste for a player to do that, and I can understand why you're saying that, but at the same point, there needs to be some room for etiquette for the fans, and I feel like it's almost impossible to actually enforce, besides throwing out an extremely unruly fan or giving a classic please, thank you from the chair umpire, you know, trying to basically, without officially stating shut up, but doing it politely. That's usually what you end up getting. It really does feel like in a lot of these events, maybe it was from Chile or it was from Monte Carlo, a lot of the crowds are really just, I'd say, uncontrollable, and it kind of feels that way. Australian Open has been that way for a long time, where the crowd is very excited and enthusiastic, and sometimes it kind of falls a little bit more, I'd say, overboard than it should. And with that being the case, it actually impacts the matches. You have noises being called out in the middle of points, and it kind of turns into a mess. So Djokovic, could he have handled it more gracefully? Of course, he cursed out a patron. Like, I understand why people are mad at him for it. At the same point, though, I do think there needs to be some measures in place to, I'd say, better handle unruly crowds. It really feels like it happens at a lot of these events, and they really can't do anything about it. I feel like a lot of the time you just hope by being polite that the crowd is going to suddenly stop, and usually it doesn't stop. So that was kind of something that happened there in the third set, I believe, in that Djokovic match, which caught my eye. Then you had the controversial third set between Sinner and Tsitsipas, where Tsitsipas won the first set, Sinner came back, and then Sinner was up a break in the third set, and he also had two break points in the 1-3 return game. So Sinner was up 3-1 as Tsitsipas was serving, and there was a really, really poor second serve when Sinner had break point. The ball was easily long by, I'd say, a couple inches. It wasn't really close, and nobody called it. So nobody called it. Sinner hit the return, and then because he hit the return, they couldn't really review the thing. So you ended up seeing Sinner lose the point, and eventually he lost the match, did start cramping after that. So maybe the result would have been the same, because Sinner's fitness definitely came into question a couple of minutes later. But it was a really bad miss. Usually if you end up seeing a miss from a line judge and a chair umpire, it's going to be by, I don't know, a couple of like millimeters every now and then, like this much usually. It's going to be close. This one was like that. So this is the usual one. This is the margin that basically that Tsitsipas second serve missed by. It wasn't even close. And it was a massive point that would have given Sinner a 4-1 lead, and he's up two breaks. The match is basically over at that point. So it was a really big deal. The reason why I bring it up is because I've mentioned this for years, and I'm going to mention it again. It will not be an issue in 2025 because they're finally doing something about it. We really need more electronics for clay events. I understand that it's clay. You're trying to be unique. You're trying to do your own fun thing. You think it's fun when the chair umpire has to come down from the chair and look at marks. It's stupid. You're in 2024. You should adjust to the times. It's embarrassing that in an era with this much technology in tennis and with all of the electronic line calling, not just even challenge systems, but full-on electrical line calling in Grand Slams, that you still have clay events, Masters 1000 events in Monte Carlo that just refuse to adapt to modern technology. And it's just insane to me that not enough of these actual tournaments have realized the effectiveness of it and would rather sacrifice accuracy with these matches to keep this little unique, fun, like niche moment on clay courts. I think it's stupid. And I'm happy that in 2025, they're finally doing away with this nonsense. I think they're still going to be keeping the actual line judges. I think it's just going to be for the sake of challenge systems in every one of these events. But the fact that Monte Carlo, a Masters 1000 event, so there's a lot of money involved, not Grand Slam amounts, but still. The fact that Sinner, I know he's had a lot of money so far in his career, he's going to win more. But the fact that you can basically, I don't want to say take the match away from somebody, because Tsitsipas still had to earn it after that. But still, it just feels extremely unfortunate that a huge event of this caliber is still using eye test stuff for big calls. And this call was not even close. It was wide by, or it was long, I should say, by a couple inches. It was a really bad miss. It changed the entire complexion of the match, and now Tsitsipas is in the final. Good for Tsitsipas. Wasn't his fault. He ended up hitting a serve that you could argue, you know, I'd say sportsmanship, he should have volunteered that the serve was long. I don't know if I agree with that, because he's on the other side of the court. He still can't tell exactly where the ball landed. Maybe he could have, but nobody called anything, and at that point, the point was over. Unfortunate for Sinner. He handled it very well in the post-match press conference, better than I would have handled it if I was in that situation. But it's unfortunate that we are still using barbaric measures of review instead of just using technology. And I'm happy that in 2025, it will officially be implemented in all clay tournaments. So looking forward to that next year. But the point is, props to Tsitsipas, props to Rude. Both dogs won. We got the sides wrong, but we did hit the lock and dog picks, and that is really all that matters. Moving on to the actual preview of the final. You're looking at a matchup between Rude and Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas is a decent favorite, about minus 140. You're looking at Rude at around plus 120. For game spread, Tsitsipas -1.5 games is minus 115. Rude +1.5 games is minus 105. Over-under is set at 22.5. The over is minus 120, and the under is even money. For set wagering, the over 2.5 sets is about plus 125, plus 130. Tsitsipas in straight sets is plus 170. Rude to win in straight sets is a plus 275. So to go through the head-to-head between these two players, Tsitsipas has an edge, but it is a bit dated. So Tsitsipas has won 3 of the 5 career meetings, so he's 3-2 in the head-to-head. But you're looking at the actual dates associated with these meetings, and Tsitsipas did pretty well early in the head-to-head. But Rude has done a lot better over the last couple of meetings. So to go through those meetings, they faced off in Los Cabos last year on hard court, and Rude did win that one in straight sets. So the point is, Rude ended up winning the most recent meeting. They faced off as well in, sorry, that was this year. Apologies. Faced off in Los Cabos this year, and Rude ended up beating Tsitsipas in straight sets. Faced off in the World Tennis Championship in 2022, and Tsitsipas won that one. Faced off in Toronto in 2021, Tsitsipas won that one too. Faced off in Madrid on clay, the most recent clay meeting between the two, and Rude did win that one in straight sets. And they faced off in a future event in Italy in 2016. Tsitsipas did win in 3. So, point is, the one ATP clay meeting between them was 3 years ago, and Rude did win in straight sets. Competitive, though, 7-6, 6-4, but Rude won the most recent meeting on hard court. Tsitsipas kind of got the middle meetings, but I think we can agree Tsitsipas has looked like the more consistent and sharper player in this event. Yes, I know Rude beat Djokovic. Djokovic, historically speaking, has really never been that great in Monte Carlo, which is why I didn't pick him to win the event in the outrights, but you're looking at Rude, who's beaten some interesting competition, beat Djokovic, beat Humbert, and beat Hurkacz in the last 3 matches, for example. Tsitsipas, though, has beaten Sinner, Zverev, and Kachanov. So I think Tsitsipas has beaten better competition, and of course, he's a 2-time champion at this event. I do think Tsitsipas is a worthy favorite. You can argue that the price might be a bit steep. Maybe it should be closer to minus 120 instead of minus 140, but I do think that Tsitsipas is going to win. I just think he's in better form. I think that he is definitely in love with the courts at Monte Carlo because he's one match away from winning his third title here. So, of course, Tsitsipas has been struggling for the last couple of months, but it appears that he finally regained his form. Good to see. Ruud had a nice win, but he's had back-to-back three-set matches. I do have questions about fatigue. And Tsitsipas, I do think after beating a guy that lost one time in the entire 2024, with a little bit of luck involved with the double faulting situation, it's still a very impressive win. And I do think that Tsitsipas, confidence-wise, is at, I don't want to say an all-time high, but definitely a high that he has not reached in a long time. So give me Tsitsipas to get the job done and to win his third Monte Carlo Masters title. As for everything else, I'm going to lean to the over in this matchup. Give me a competitive match. I think that both guys are going to really be comfortable rallying from behind the baseline, which should result in a lot of ebbs and flows. So for that reason, I am going to lean to the over. I also do like the over 2.5 sets. The match kind of screams three sets to me, and I do think that you're looking at a situation where each guy can have moments in the match. Now, ironically, the last four head-to-head meetings ended in straight sets. So maybe I'm going on a bit of a hunch there, but I do think that Ruud is in good form. I think Tsitsipas is in great form, and I do think when they come together, this could be a very entertaining and a very hard-fought battle by the two of them. Now, Tsitsipas, you could argue, might have some nerves because he has not won a title in a while, so maybe nerves get to him. We'll see, but I do think Tsitsipas is worthy being a favorite, and I think he has been the better player at this event compared to Ruud so far. Give me Tsitsipas to get the job done, and I am going to go with the over as well in the match. Now, that's going to wrap it up. Once again, a short episode for the actual, I'd say, men's final in Monte Carlo between Ruud and Tsitsipas. Now it is time for the lock and dog picks, but before we get into any of that, do want to take a quick word from our sponsor. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the place to play fantasy sports because it is the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. They have great pick'em games. For example, you can pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in their upcoming games. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. And you can also make rivals picks, which pits two players against each other, so you can pick which player you think might have more points, for example, in an NBA game. But a reminder that you should also join Underdog Fantasy because they have a lot of very fun markets for tennis. They have, for example, breaks of serve. They have aces. They have a lot of fun tennis options to make matches more interesting, and I recommend you joining the platform in order to take advantage of those opportunities. So sign up today with promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find them on the App Store, and don't forget to register with the promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 plus and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concern with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. We're also proud to partner up with Ava, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage sports betting, it's pretty simple. Basically, betting both sides of a bet at two different sportsbooks to lock in a profit. The AVO tool scans the sportsbooks, looking for discrepancies in the odds, and then they tell you how much money you need to place in order to actually make any expected profit. The tool is super easy to use and lightning fast because speed is a big part of arbitrage sports betting. The best part of AVO is that it's currently free to use without restrictions. That's right, completely free. Get started today at arbsversodds.com. That's arbsvsodds.com. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished previewing the final between Ruud and Tsitsipas. Now it is time for the actual lock and dog picks. Starting off with the lock, I am not going to go, I'd say, too crazy with this one. I'm going to stay with a relatively, I'd say, safe-ish option. I'm just going to go with Tsitsipas money line at minus 140. Can Ruud win the match? Sure. But I think that Tsitsipas has been the better player, and I do think that he's worthy of being a favorite here. Ruud finally exercised a demon. He finally beat a top three player in the world, and I do think that Tsitsipas is well-equipped to handle him because I do think that Tsitsipas has the game to really kind of make Ruud think, and I think that with the variety that Tsitsipas possesses, Ruud might struggle to actually break serve for a decent portion of this matchup. Now, Tsitsipas has faced better competition, beat Sinner, beat Zverev, beat Kachanov. He's been in great form. Rude's beating good players too. Bjokovic, Umbert, and Hurkacz, I think, doesn't really stack up to the three wins that Tsitsipas has, because Zverev, for example, is better than Umbert by a wide margin. Kachanov and Hurkacz on clay, I think we'd agree Kachanov's better. And I think Djokovic is better than Sinner on clay, but the point is you can make an argument because Sinner is the number one player in the world based on his overall form in 2024. So I'll take the guy that's being better competition in this event. I'll also take the guy that's a two-time champion. So I do think he's ready to once again handle the courts in Monte Carlo a bit better than Ruud. And most importantly, or I think I should say an X factor of this matchup, Tsitsipas can serve and volley. And we saw Djokovic use that tactic on several occasions successfully in the semifinal matchup. Tsitsipas can volley, and I think that he might try to implement part of that game plan when he needs it. And I think that Ruud, when he stands so far back behind the baseline, he leaves himself vulnerable to giving away free points. And I do think that Tsitsipas will use this tactic. He's capable of doing it, and that is another weapon that he has in his arsenal. But give me Tsitsipas once again, based on his current form. He's made us a lot of money this week to get the job done once again on the money line at minus 140 as my lock. For my dog, give me the over, 2.5 sets of plus 130. Once again, not going to get too creative with it. I just see a close match. I think that Tsitsipas and Ruud are both going to be involved in really, I'd say, interesting ebbs and flows with this matchup, because Ruud has gone to a deciding set in two straight matches against Umbert and against Djokovic, so we've already seen his level fluctuate in various portions of matches. Now, Tsitsipas did go to three sets against Sinner in the last round, but the point is I do think stylistically both guys will try to just remain behind the baseline the entire time, have a long, long collection of, I'd say, 20, 30-plus shot rallies, and they're going to see whoever can last the longest. And I do think with that being the case, you're going to get some momentum swings over the course of this matchup. And we know both guys can be a little bit weak mentally from time to time. So give me a competitive and back and forth match that probably goes over 2.5 sets as my dog. So once again, the picks for the show, the lock's going to be on Tsitsipas moneyline at minus 140. And my dog will be on Ruud and Tsitsipas over 2.5 sets at plus 130. In other words, Tsitsipas in three sets, and we are really, really happy. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. A reminder for next week, unlike this week, we have three tournaments to preview in the next episode. We have Barcelona, we have Munich, and we have Bucharest. So we're going to preview all three of those while giving out some outrights on each event. Until next time, though, find me on Twitter at Red Show Radio. Find me on the NBA show. Find me on the MLB show. Find me on the WNBA show. You get the point. Until next time, though, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.